and get my crazy baby material. It's been clear that you're such that the more you do, the more you hanker for it. When you feel hankering for Krishna's service, then you know you are starting to be normal again. You're leaving your life from a purge, and it's starting to be normal when you feel hankering for more service to Krishna, even though you're doing service. What does Rupa Goswami say about chanting Hare Krishna? Who knows? Krishna Nama Charitari Stokya Deja. Naturally, we love to chant Hare Krishna, but because we're in ignorance, we don't have the natural taste. But you can revive the natural taste by attentive chanting every day. Just in all of the Another? Yes, that is the experience of liberated soul. Rupa Goswami revealing what it's like to chant Hare Krishna in a liberated class. No matter how much he chants, he doesn't have enough tongues to vibrate the holy name, and enough ears to hear the holy name. The holy name goes from the tongue to the ear and enters into the courtyard of the heart. Chanting Hare Krishna means you're begging Krishna for service. Service we're already accustomed to in terms of serving our body and mind. It's pretty boring serving the body and mind, isn't it? Rupa Goswami also talks about the taskmasters that are demanding service of you. Lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, and illusion. They demand of you. But lust, demand, serve me. And although you serve these filthy beings so nicely, they don't give you any vacation. Generally, everybody who works, I guess except for when you're young, you get a vacation. They still haven't given you a vacation. You're on it. They finally gave it to you, huh? They're always telling us before how they keep denying the vacation. So that's what the senses are like. Except they'll never give you the vacation. At least you got your vacation after how many years? So the senses will not give you any respite. It's a hard lesson for us to learn. Because it looks like sense gratification will give relief. We discussed that anyway. But how can you listen? Came from India, South India, and immediately ran into the blizzard of Western degradation. And so he was covered over. And now he can see that. He didn't satisfy him. He wanted to be thought of as cool. But he pretended he was like everybody else. And he got the results that everybody else got. Burnt out, chewed up, spit out. Now he's taking to Krishna and his mother is so happy. Just see what you took for granted at home. You had to come here to realize. Every real mother wants her son or daughter to be a saint. Problem is we don't have real mothers and fathers too often in this world. They just want their children to make money, produce some grandchildren and make notes. So Rukunoswami says, your senses will never give you a vacation. Now just think about that. No break. Usually you think, someone's just telling me this yesterday. Here, the little bells are here. You think that, you know, you just do this and then, okay, that'll be enough for a while. You think like that. But Maya doesn't think like that. It's your vision. Something new is, it'll be enough for a while, you know. A little bit of reaction, you can call it quick. No, misalignment doesn't work like that. The proposal is like that. Yeah, it took a little bit. You'll feel the need. That'll be enough. You understand you're not the body. But you compromise with Maya, and then the pulling process starts to begin, pulling you straight down. And remember, how did I get this far? I had it all figured out. A little bit of recreation, a little bit of Maya, just the realization of it.
Now look at this.
What happened? No vacations from Maya. No vacations from serving your senses. And the most painful thing is when your senses start pounding on you to serve them, even when you know it's not going to satisfy you. Now that's the worst thing. You're hooked on that drug addict. A drug addict knows it's foolish to get the drug. You know, drug addict? They know. It's foolish, but they have to do it. They have to serve. Similarly, when you accept my proposal, you have to serve the senses. Even though you know it doesn't satisfy you. The pounding is so much. You can't take it. And that's when you really go from passion to ignorance, because you get so fried. Well, I know this is not going to satisfy me, I'm doing it. Just look how low I am. Then you start getting angry at the other person. And the only way you can deal with that mode of ignorance, anger, is what? Intoxication. Then the thought hits you when you're intoxicated. Maybe this is what's needed to make the motor passion better. Intoxication will spice the whole thing. Then you really think wrong. You take the shelter of the motor ignorance to make the motor passion better. And people are proud of that. They're proud of the motor path. I remember walking past in the Blue Pot nightclub was in Palm Beaches. Walked past something today. Closed my eyes. They had a band, something. They were singing a song. Very proud of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You want a mama mantra? Everyone thinks that's cool. They can't see it as flavor. And the material energy packages it in so many ways. The same old thing. This is love. This is caring. This is healing. This is balancing. This is soothing. This is tender. This is energetic. All the same things showing the truth. And we have to be afraid of that. And that's when you're angry. You take it. But you can't do anything about it. You're caught. But you really can't do anything about it. And then you have to take your intoxication. You get angry at yourself. Just like we were discussing this morning. I was driving off on 7:30 in the morning, seeing people driving to the how the men look so depleted and the women look angry and kind. No one was satisfied with the night before. No one. But that's all they're working hard for. The big house. Come home. Watch television. Eat abominable food. Sleep in bed. Get up in the morning. Same thing every day. Finally, you just give in. Well, this is life. Then you get morose. And you can't do it on the house, can you? This is so morose. This is life. It's all right. So you have to get intoxicated, otherwise you can't get in. You know you're trapped. But you just give in. You stop thinking about it. You reach a point in your adult life when you just stop thinking about it. Just, that's the way it is. I remember my brother when he was about 40 years old, 42 years old. He's a doctor. He's got his own clinic. 2.5 cars in the garage and 3.5 children and all that. That was that. He just came to me spontaneously one day with tears in his eyes and said, "How did you overcome the routine? I can't think of the routine." You guys forget what it's like. You know, look, I have to look at the same thing every day. Whether you're a working materialist or an alternative materialist, the same thing every day. If you're a working materialist, another day of the job. Come home, do the same thing. Same old sex. You turn it this way, you turn it that way. It's the same old thing, you know. This way, that way. Package it this way, package it that way. Same old thing. You start getting angry. That's why the Gita says, passion and ignorance. And if you're an alternative materialist, same old drugs. Every day, same old drugs and alcohol. We were discussing last night, some of you were saying, you know, upstanding members, you were saying they used to think that alcohol was, you know, beer was happiness. So all he needed was beer, he'd be happy. Even some of the ladies were thinking, I thought it was just a man's thing. We'll be happy, have beer. It's the same old thing. Just alcohol. You might as well just take the alcohol. Doctors do that. My mother told me she was a private nurse. So she's more higher ranked than a regular nurse. She could work whenever she wanted to. So the doctors would, you know, they better know. Don't have anybody bother us. We're in the empty wood now. You know, we got some pure alcohol. Some great juice and some pure alcohol, you know. We're going for it. I guess in the hospital they have access to the pure stuff. So they built some grape, you know, they buy bottles of grape juice and get the pure alcohol from the hospital and just go in an empty ward and just, you know, be doctors. This is what people do. They try to account for the boredom of fence gathering. That would have been your life without Krishna. Just like Errol can tell you, the boredom of flying. It sounds very glamorous at first. How long was it glamorous for you? Mm-hmm. And then the same thing every day, right? Another day in a real thing. Sometimes people say that to me, "Oh, I'm so excited, traveling all the time. Wow, how fortunate you are." Gosh, to think that. Good conclusion after traveling with me for how long were you gone for? 7 weeks. You've been doing this for 25 years? Day after day dashing to the airplane, another day, another airport, another customs check, you know, another immigration check. And you travel a lot, you take airplanes. breath is fine, it's only that you're transient. Stale air, transient. There was one sitting in a row, 3 feet from the middle section. So, there was a lady, Josh was in the middle, there was a lady on his right, and I was on his left. So, after about 15 flights, I had him trained up that when he wants to go to the bathroom, he goes the other way. He says, I have to get up. That's about 15 flights. So, yeah. He kept getting up and going out past, you know, this American lady who's about, you know, 40 years old. So. Then one time, he had to get something out of the overhead locker on my left side, so he came around and was getting the locker. And I saw the lady watching it, and he went, like, you know, is he going to go all the way back around and come in front of me, or is he just going to... Typical American lady, you know? So I was watching her and saying, oh, I know Josh is not watching. He doesn't know that she's watching him. But, yep, sure enough, he got the thing out of the locker. And then instead of coming in front of me, he got the thing going all the way around. He didn't see her watching you, did you? He's giving Josh, he does things, he's like fixed on one thing. He was just so absorbed doing one thing. So he came back around and cut in front of her. What did she tell you? Typical American lady. And I told him, don't worry, she's just a big mouth American lady. This is no story. But we think all these things are pleasure. It's the same old thing. How are we going to get out of this? How are we going to get free? Lord Chaitanya has brought the Hare Krishna mantra. That is our way of freedom. Our spiritual senses become revived. And we use our senses to serve the Lord of the senses, Rishi says. I've explained it before, the basic problem with what we're doing is that it goes totally against Western so-called culture. Western so-called culture is based on unrestricted senses. That's what's in your blood and causing you trouble. Your whole upbringing, your whole birth, your whole family line is dedicated to uncontrolled senses. So you understand where the problems are coming from? Your whole genesis in this world, you know, from the time you were conceived, the time you were born, the way you've been raised as a baby, it's all for unrestricted sense gratification. It's all that's being beamed at you every moment, from your family, from the television, from the radio, from the music, school, play, everything is just telling you that. Now, all of a sudden, here you are, before Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, chanting Hare Krishna, and espousing a life of sense control. So you have to expect a bit of a tussle for a while. But don't be afraid to fight for your life. Those of you who are going to be serious about Krishna consciousness, you're going to really have to accept as your career. Learning the art of controlling your senses and Krishna spirit. It's a lifelong career. Those of you who are going to be serious about it. You've got to seize control of your life back from illusory energy. That's a career. If you're actually serious about controlling your senses, it's a daily meditation. You dare not submit to mindlessness. Living mindlessly under the influence of materiality. So those of you who are serious about your synapses, you're just going to basically have to learn how to fight bias. And Krishna will give you all encouragement. You have to understand what happened to your life. Understand the situation you were born into. And then you can understand why you may feel difficulty from time to time. But that difficulty can be extinguished if you very nicely take shelter of the Hare Krishna mantra and engage in Krishna's service. The more you do service that's dear to Krishna, the easier it is to control your senses. Prabhupada said that. Prabhupada explained that to be leaders of Krishna consciousness have a responsibility to keep every devotee, as much as possible, every devotee engaged in a challenge. Prabhupada explained that when devotees have a challenge, then they feel, I have to control my senses, otherwise I'll never be able to do this. If I live pure, if I succumb to Maya, I won't have the potency to do this great task. So Prabhupada said it's the job of the leaders to make sure that devotees have a sense of challenge, so that they have to stretch. And in order to stretch to achieve that goal, they have to become more Krishna conscious. They know it. And that way they can easily say no to Maya. Oh no, I don't want to give in to Maya because I'll never be pure enough to do this great task for Krishna. So that's how Prabhupada saw that such management should function. Devotees should have a challenge. When devotees start getting in a routine and a rut, then they start depending on themselves instead of depending on Krishna. But when you have a challenge, then you know, oh, I can't do this without Krishna. And when I was 28, I was behind that when I was 28. That was a challenge. Krishna likes it when you're in a situation in which you have to call out for him all the time. He might think, oh, this is hellish. Calling out for Krishna all the time. I want to feel confident in myself. I want to feel comfortable and secure. No, the actual real love of your life is to constantly crying out to Krishna and dependent on the child going to life. Amongst you all here, you have different capacities, different desires for Krishna consciousness. You're seeking different levels. Some of you, just the fact that you're chanting Hare Krishna is the best way to achieve. Others, you've been chanting Hare Krishna for a while. And maybe it's time to start contemplating, how can I do something dear for Krishna? How do you do something dear for Krishna? Do something dear for Krishna's representative. Then Krishna is your bhakti. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I'm simply running after the devotee, saying, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. I'm running after the devotee. Krishna says, Krishna te tomat, Krishna dite pala. I'm running after the devotee, shouting Krishna, Krishna. So I was explaining this morning, you want this place here to be comfortable for the dabblers and the beginners, but we also want it to be comfortable for the adepts, the older ones. How do you make it comfortable for them? It has to be a challenge. They can build their spiritual muscles. So you can think, oh, without Krishna's mercy, I can't do this. It's actually great nectar to feel that Krishna is your only son. but he gives some secrets and hints how to defeat the illusionary. If you're serious about it, you have to base your whole life. Make a career plan. I'm going to control my senses and Krishna for you. Don't just sit around and let Nishonidhi deal on you. That's the worst thing. It's like push or be pushed. That's the way it works. You push ahead in Krishna's service or Maya will push you. Mind you, like guys in school when they're young, you know. Maybe even 13 or something like that. Maybe your school or my school. One guy would push another guy, and the other guy would push him back. And, oh, you push me first, no, you push me! And some school aide or monitor would come and try to break up the shoving match. All right, who started it? He pushed me! No, he pushed me! They do that in your school too. Basically, that's what you have to be like to deal with the material energy. Maya pushes you, you push back. There's nothing next. You push, or Maya pushes. You can't stand there and be pushed around. When you push back, Krishna likes that. Sometimes you get pushed very severely. And you push back very severely. That's when Krishna consciousness starts to become fun. Start to expand your muscles for Krishna. Like a sense of adventure and a sense of well, you're getting a sense of real self-worth. Rather than just be pushed around by Maya, rather than just being dealt on by Maya, you're asserting yourself by asserting your service to Krishna. Now, for the older devotees, I'll explain to you the most nectarian thing is to make plans to scheme how you're going to personally defeat Maya and like to defeat yourself. Make cold-blooded plans how to deal with Maya. In terms of your own life. Alright, Maya, I know you're trying to do this to me. You're trying to push me in this bad way. I'm going to do this. You're not going to like it. Too bad. I got a plan how to please Krishna. This way you seize back control of your life. There's nothing wrong with plan making. In fact, you have to plan how to deal on Maya. Otherwise, Maya deals on you. You have to have strategies. I'm talking not about preaching strategies. I'm talking about your own personal life. You've got to have a personal strategy. Just like in sports, you know, the best athletes, they have a game plan before they get on the playing field. They have a strategy. You have to do that in your own spiritual life. You have to have a strategy. Then things start to get very ecstatic. But just to drift along, okay, at least you're chanting Hare Krishna. But sooner or later you're going to have to come to the point of realizing the seriousness of what you're doing. We don't force people to come to that level. Some of you will, some of you won't, but still we have to talk about it. Any questions? So remember that. If you're going to be a leader in Krishna practice in any kind of way, your job is to create a sense of challenge. So devotees will feel the need to come to you and fight for it in their life.
Yeah. Sometimes you know, gotta push back. You can sense that you do like that. You can push back the other time.
Krishna is stronger. He's got a big daddy. Just like a little kid who knows he has a big father. You do that when you're a little kid. I say to another kid, my dad can be your dad. You know when you do that? You don't say like that, do you? You do it? You must say it again. My dad can be your dad. And you got confident, right? No, you make one step toward Krishna, Krishna makes 10 towards you. Krishna is more eager for you to go back to Godhead than you are. Because Krishna gives you independence. Either way, you're serving Krishna. The illusory energy is his, the spiritual energy is his. But he gives you the chance to choose. Even when you're serving the material energy, you're still serving Rishi Kesh, so it's indirect, it's the wrong way. No need to make it so complicated. This is what you should think. What is the use of me aspiring for lust when these are not my senses? Let's say, suppose someone here was, you know, lusting to take your computer and use it without asking your permission. Wait a minute now, it's my computer and I have to use it for certain things. But we're like that. We're aspiring to use sensory instruments that don't belong to us. Amazing. This is how you should start to catch the influence of Maya in your consciousness. You're thinking, my tongue, my eyes, my skin, my sense organs, they're mine. They're not yours. That's difficult to accept, isn't it? That your senses don't belong to you. Your skin doesn't belong to you. That sense of touch, tactility, belongs to Krishna. How can you misappropriate things that don't belong to you? This is where you catch the lust creeping in. We feel like these are my senses. No, they're not your senses. My body. It's not your body. It belongs to someone else. Somebody else's equipment. Like Denver, you must have a lot of sound equipment. You do, right? Your equipment, right? Suppose somebody else came along and, you know, hey, yeah, look at those speakers. Look at that mixing board. Yeah. Starts to walk away with it. You would like that. My sound equipment. Similarly, the senses belong to Krishna, but we keep trying to walk away with them. These senses don't belong to us. So that's where you catch the lust, right? In that stage. The senses don't belong to you. You're trying to misappropriate them. Yeah, they go the other extreme then. That, since it doesn't belong to me, then who gives a damn? It's all Krishna. It's all Krishna. That's another aspect of lust. That since it doesn't belong to me, I don't give a damn about it. I only give a damn about things that belong to me. You're still trapped in the lust concept, something like that. The right consciousness is, it belongs to Krishna, let me take care of it better than I would take care of something belonging to me. I'm doing this for Krishna, let me do it better than what I would do for me. I'll tell you another secret, those of you who are serious about a creator in Krishna consciousness. Others were not trying to scare you away, but you know, sometimes we speak for the benefit of the new people, sometimes for the others. You're not scared away by reception. Some of you have worked very hard in your material life and have gone through great sacrifice.
Krishna, how
life when you were really sacrificing and trying to do something. You, in order to defeat Maya, have to do at least that much for Krishna, otherwise it's cheating. Just think in your life when you were really accepting inconveniences and trying to do something and working so hard, you have to do at least that much for Krishna. Otherwise, you're all going back to cheating. It's not like, well, now that we know everything belongs to Krishna, then we just take it easy. So now is the time to work more than before. Okay, let's hear all these things. Like I said, sometimes we talk for the benefit of the new ones, and sometimes for the old ones. There are different levels possible in Krishna consciousness. We encourage everybody. But just explaining what the full picture looks like. Okay. Any other questions? Now, you come to Krishna consciousness at a young age and had an easy life because your mom was always taking care of you. Yeah? You didn't waste your time struggling for material things. Now you can learn how to struggle for Krishna.
I'm trying to
and you can see what things look like and act like they belong to us, and we want to look up and get at them. But if they don't look like they
And that should inspire any decent man to properly treat the woman. But the woman's not your second husband, so you're a man. Then we'll be men, you know. Women are always astonished to hear how men really think. They can't believe it. And certainly men are astonished to hear how women think. Yes, if you're in proper consciousness and you understand something belongs to Krishna, you want to take the best of care of it. Like Prabhupada says that the men should think about the lady devotees, this beautiful gopi belongs to Krishna. This beautiful gopi is meant for Krishna. I guess the Congress, the lady's supposed to come to the Congress, boy, this is for Krishna. So these are things at a deeper level of Krishna consciousness, but I know some of you are just starting your Krishna consciousness to various levels, and that's fine. You don't have to click on all at once. A few people do that. It's not common. Generally, people take some time to get acclimated. And water seeks its own level. We'll have people here who, they just want to do chanting and come for a few kirtans a week and pick prasad. That's nice. Very good. Don't feel discouraged, please. Some of the others who want to do a bit more. There'll be some of you who just, you chant your 16 rounds and follow the regular principles, but you don't want to, exert too much. Exert yourself too much to missionary activity. And there'll be others that you will figure if I'm doing this, let me go for it. So there's room for everybody, there's a place for everybody. All right. I'll just send you tonight, 7 minutes. That'll bring you in 7 minutes. Well, that's how you got things too. Errol. Greg. What is your name? Tim. Oh, you're the famous one. Are the members of the multinational? No, a different Tim. You don't know the multinational. Yes, you don't waste time. Come in to take the prasad. The holy sacrament.
I mean, like, when you're not coming to the
world. Yes, yes, yes. Unless they're doing something for Krishna. Like some people here, they work during the day. That all works. Greg works, Jim works, Ramdas works, Josh works, Josh works. Madhu works. When I say work, I mean a salary job. So they're not here, and they're doing that, right? They're working to maintain themselves. They are servants of Krishna. There's nothing wrong with them maintaining themselves. And also, they naturally hope to have something to use for Krishna's service besides just maintaining themselves. It's boring just working to maintain itself, isn't it? Selfish. You're going to school, right? So when you're not, I heard about Ashtami, so many of you got sick of the book. Yes. You got yours out? What about you? Did you get a set of books for your mother? You did. Yeah. You did. She must have been so happy, right? Who's that hiding out in the hallway there? Ice! Hey, I always wonder what happened to you. What are you hiding out there? I thought you just came, you know, I met you once and you just disappeared, you know? Whenever I go to LA, I always think of you. Really? Is that what you did? He's coming in on his own angle. The unique ice angle. Approach interesting dances. I'm not letting them know your secret. Cool. All right. Thank you very much.